Welcome to Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, brought to you the kind compliments of our friends over at Bank of St. Lucia. All the bag that you need this afternoon. I'm really happy and proud to welcome or to have this person joining me via our platform, Mondi Lewis, somebody whose name has probably via our platform, Mondi Lewis, whose name has probably been more prevalent in the past election. But there's so much more to Mondi Lewis, and I'm very excited to get to have this little chit chat with us. Thank you so much, because I know you're with your new role and Tig, you're busy and Tig. So thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. So welcome, Mondi, to Youth Unplugged. I think your mic is on mute.
There we go.
So thank you once again for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you, Ron, for having me. Thank you, RCI, and thank you, St. Lucia, for having me. Looking forward to the chat.
Yes, a little chit chat. Of course, Mondi, let's start from the beginning, which is what I usually tell my guests. We're starting with little Mondi when Mondi was just going to primary school. What was Mondi like? Who was Mondi then?
Oh boy, big up Anglican.
Oh yes,
but, big up Anglican. So I think, you know, I've always been very competitive, very passionate about my work. And I think I always struck a very good balance between my school work life and my personal life, all the extracurricular activities that I did, that I took in. And then I went on to the St. Joseph's Convent, heavily involved in student life, but also very serious about my work. And that is always, I think anyone who knows me knew that I was just a big stickler. When it came to work, student politics, student life, and just really advocating for whatever there was to, I was always championing some cause. And I think I took that into my adult life, into my UE days at St. Augustine, and now into my professional life, and even the what I call extracurricular activities that I also take part in, whether it's my businesses, Legends Carnival Band, my own business, Belcouleur Paint and Sip. So it really has been a matter of balancing that work life for me, and that has been very important to me.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that you said that balance. And of course, that is something that a lot of us struggle with. So throughout the course of the interview, and maybe closer to the end of the interview, we're going to give young people advice. And by the way, it's actually International Youth Day.
International Youth Day, so
congratulations on being our guest on Youth
Day.
On
Youth Serendipitous.
pretty cool. Let's start off with your business. Let's start off with that. Belcouleur, how did that come about? Because it's, first of all, I've experienced it, and let me tell you, it is truly an amazing experience. How did that come about?
I was unemployed. Can you imagine that? You know, I was unemployed, and I had to find something to do. And every day I just was like, what can I do? What can I do? I know I didn't really want, at the time, I didn't really want to work for anybody. I had just left the work scene. Again, you know, and the politics is everywhere. We had just changed governments back in 2016. I had been on contract, and I had to find an alternative source of employment. I figured, you know what, I'm not going back into government. I don't want to do that. I want some freedom. And it literally was like every night I'm going to sleep. I'm like, what do I want to do for the next couple of years? And then one morning I literally just woke up and I was like, okay, I'll do this paint and sip. Who's doing it? And I did my research, and it was as easy as that. But what the hard part was, and I think for most entrepreneurs, is how do you finance it? Art is not cheap. Mm-hmm. The supplies, there's the paint, the brushes. So for me, pulling the resources together, thank God for my family, for my mother, who really supported me, even if she didn't really understand it, because no one thought art in St. Lucia, paints? Like, we've never painted before. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody want to come paint? But I, for the last, 4 years? I mean, this is what has literally been my bread and butter, you know, day in, day out. And St. Lucians have really supported it. I know people who are now artists because they painted with Belcouleur.
What, when you started, can you paint, by the way? Can you?
Absolutely not. Not at all. It frustrates me. I think I painted at my class maybe twice, but I'm such a perfectionist because I can't get it right. And it requires, you have to do it. You have to stick with it. And I just want it to be great. I want it to be great. So I was just like, you know what? I did this twice. I can't do it. It looked okay, but it could have been better. So I just don't paint. And for me, you know, for entrepreneurship, I don't think you have to be the one who actually and physically do it. I manage the business. So I do a lot of the marketing, the business proposals, but I hire staff. I have staff who carry out, who actually do the painting, and which is very important. But how do you continue the business? How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it out there? And for me, word of mouth has really been that. For me, people love the experience, and it's about the quality of the experience. And, you know, it just has, so one friend brought another friend, and that's how our bookings have gone on for the last 4 years.
That's pretty amazing. Now, again, you just made a very important point, and I want to, you know, backtrack to it, because we have this misconception that because you're an entrepreneur, you have to do the work and you have to understand. Yeah. Look at you. You're happy to save your life. But I know you can sip, though. I know you can sip.
I really do. And I think it's the same thing also with Carnival. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm not a Carnival person. You're not going to find me in a Carnival costume or anything of the sort. Yes, I like a good fit like everybody else, but I'm not the reveler. But it is about the organization and the management of, I think, just products in general and services. How do we get something from the idea and realizing its full potential? And I think that's what I enjoy creating, managing, and, you know, at the end of the satisfaction that, yes, I accomplished that. And that's, I think, how I've leveraged most of the businesses that I've been a part of, not actually being that reveler or being the painter, being the artist, just having the idea and pulling all the resources so that it really becomes something that people enjoy, a product that people would want to enjoy.
Yeah, very well said, because that goes to my next part of the questioning, because you're very heavily involved with the Legends Carnival band. If anybody knows Mondi and Carnival, like you rightfully said, it might not seem to be like Mondi's so serious. Yeah. And she's, you know, so how did that go about?
Well, my friends, Zenaida McNamara, Janelle Gasto, at one time Jenna and Gasto, and now Dwayne Menz, you know, your friends, everyone was doing, people wanted an experience that they would want for themselves. And I joined the band probably a year or 2 years after it was already launched, but more for my managerial skills, to just, because everyone, most of the people that were big mass people, mm-hmm. But again, it's a product, it's a business also. So how do we make money out of this? How do we give quality service? And I think that was my role in the band, or has been my role. It's shifted a number of times, but more so in literally just giving structure to that. And every business needs structure. It's not just about talent. It's not just about the resources that you have. But, you know, for it to be sustainable, you need proper structures. And I think that's the serious side of me that I bring into everything that I'm a part of.
Now, with any one of these businesses, what has been some of the challenges that you have to overcome? And especially, let's look at it from the direction, especially for your new role, which we're going to be talking about. That is an interview on its own. So I'm trying to separate that first to give people that there's more to money than politics. So how are you able to overcome some of these issues? And maybe you could address maybe one or two. You could be broad about it and how you're able to overcome them.
I think in everything, there is one, interpersonal relationships, interpersonal skills, because you would know for Carnival, I mean, everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Yeah. But how do you manage people? How do you manage people's disappointments? How do you manage people's expectations? And even in Belcourt, you know, people want to sit and stand, and it is marketed as that alternative entertainment, because, you know, a lot of us just go to the beach, we go to the movies. So it's always about experiences. And just for me, because I'm highly competitive, it's always about outdoing myself, making it better. And I think I frustrate myself even if someone else can't give that kind of service that I would do. So in the band, it was about knowing my rappers' names, knowing what they drank on the road. Even if, you know, 1 year our costumes were crap, but managing the experience on the road for people that, you know, you're not going to leave here unsatisfied, we're going to make up. I think that has been, it's always, you know, people, everyone is different. And if you're interacting with people in terms of your business, that's going to be probably one of the more ticklish parts of it. But I think you just have to, you know, I'm learning a lot of patience. I'm learning to be just a little more understanding, empathetic towards people, and listen a lot more. I think when you listen to what your clients want, to the people you serve want, I think you become better at whatever it is that you do.
Very well said. Very well said. And you could give yourself some slack, you know. You know, you could cut yourself some slack sometimes.
I'm really hard.
Trust me, I understand. Mondi, you recently took on this big role of working with the Labour Party, and of course, because of your last name, you know, you've been very, very Labour Party-ish last name. Of course, your uncle being the great Robert Lewis. And notice I said the great Robert Lewis.
The great
Robert Lewis. What was it like working with, you know, like, you know, people have this idea that because of your last name, you are automatically associated with the party. How are you able to show that, listen, I am not necessarily that person. I am my own individual also. That's a balance that people have always been interested in knowing.
It's crazy, Rod. I know you probably suffered from it a lot too, because your last name, I mean, your dad was big in the public service at one time.
Don't say it loud.
Yeah, I know this.
People don't say no.
I know this. But I mean, I would tell people that I was Labour before my uncle. I've always been very political. Like, I love politics. This is always what I wanted to do. From young, I remember conversations with the Nation, listening to Kenny Anthony in the morning before you go to school. And I just, you know, it's just something that resonated with me. That it was always about people, making people's lives better. And because I loved politics, it was very easy for me to gravitate to a St. Lucia Labour Party. When my uncle decided to join politics, trust me, there was like real ruction in my family, you know, because I thought he had stolen my dream. So it was like, how could you do something like that? You know, and I'm like, if you don't serve well, then people will be like, oh, she's just like her uncle and whatever, whatever. But, you know, he pacified me and said, she's just opening doors, giving me greater opportunities. But I think from very early that Michael and I are very different people, are very different approaches. He's more cool and calm, and I'm a little more temperamental, a little snappier, sharp, you know, sharp wit. But so I think I was, from a very early age, I was able to define my own space and my own name within the party. So I had served as the president of the SLPYO. Mm-hmm. So I've been around, not just as press secretary, not just as communications officer for the St. Lucia Labour Party. So it never was Robert's niece. It was just always Mondi. And I was very grateful for that, to be able to really define my role and stand on my own. And I think for me, that was very important, being in politics and being a woman in politics, because it's very male-dominated. And I feel sometimes, a lot of the time, even now, you're either sometimes one of the few women at the table, and I'm probably the youngest also at the table.
Yeah, that's so, what I just want to say. You're a woman, you're the youngest. How do people take you seriously? Especially, I think more so, it's not even a sex thing. I think it's more when you're dealing with people who we know. Because I remember when Kenny Anthony first came on the scene when he won, I was like seven. With these guys around, like, we're seven. And like now you're at the table as a communications officer saying, but boss, you're doing it wrong. And like, dude, is it ever a stance when they watch you like my girl, you just come around the scene. Who are you to tell me what to
do? You know, I'll be real with you guys. It was, I don't know that I had great resistance in terms of the candidates. You know, sometimes when you would have to, because you're really in the position, I had to make a lot of decisions in terms of what the brand would look like. That look and feel, the training for my candidates, what is it that they say, how they, where they go. So, you know, somebody might want to go on a show and I'd be like, no, you're not going. And they'd have to listen to that. So, you know, that was great power, but great responsibility in that position. And I never took it for granted. This election was for us very important to get people back in government. And when I say people in government, to make people the center, the focus of any government that is there to serve the people of St. Lucia. So I really understood the role and I took a lot of guidance. I had a lot of support from people who had gone before me, from a lot of the elders in the party. I must say that at no time did I feel alone. Honorable Philip JPA, he always had a very encouraging word, because some days you just wanted to give up. Some days you could do no right. For some people, the public scrutiny always on 100. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I was so focused. My team was so focused on the task ahead that it just really wasn't about you. You learned not to take it seriously, not to take, you know, the criticisms, the hate speech. You just don't take it personal, just move on. There will be good days, there'll be bad days, but you just hope that there are more good days than bad. And I think for me, that really helped getting through this election cycle.
That's pretty amazing, especially knowing that the opposition, you know, working with some big names in terms of political and analyzing and whatsoever. And
yeah, then, you know, it was
and there you are.
Intimidating, because we're in opposition, we're broke. I'm here doing this for free. Everyone was serving, literally people were serving their country and their party. They were doing this for the love of it. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who love their party and love their country and who serve. There are people who've been in it for 5 years. And I came on, I spent a year officially in the position. But it wasn't easy. But I think, again, like I said, everybody was super focused on the task ahead. And we won.
It paid off. Let's talk about your new role before we go back to you personally. When you were offered that position, let's talk about the emotions, because let me tell you, this is a position that has been held by some very interesting, a lot of young people have held that position, coincidentally. Starting off, I think it was probably, it was Kenny Anthony starting that whole trend of hiring younger people within that role. Well, when you were offered that role, how did you feel? Were you honored to be amongst some of the greats? Or were you like, oh, Lord, more work? Oh, Lord. I mean,
yeah, because, that was,
you know,
it.
Winning the election is just probably half the battle, because now that you have to probably now prove yourself, how do you tell your candidate or the prime minister, boss, you have to wear this now, you have to do this? I don't know. So many questions in one, but let's talk about your emotions when you're offered the position.
So it was the night we were at campaign headquarters, actually. The votes were still coming in. Everything was happening so quickly. But at one point, I think we knew we were winning. And I got a call from now Honorable Prime Minister Philip JPA. And he says, Mondi, we've won. So I was like, we did it. Okay, yay. he said, my first My first order, I would like to, my first act is that I would like to offer you the position of press secretary. And I, you know, the response that I had been taught that I was supposed to give was, I'm happy to serve at the pleasure of the prime minister. And that is exactly what I said.
Oh my goodness.
I literally said, I would be happy to serve at the pleasure of the prime minister. So it wasn't even a matter of what I wanted to do. I mean, before that, you had your own dreams, you had your own thoughts of how you'd want to serve. I knew that I wanted to go back into my private life. I wanted to, you know, go back quiet, do the work in the background. Because even as comms officer, for me, it was never about me. It was just about getting the machine working, making my candidates look good, sound good, making the campaign look and feel good. So that has always been, it's not about me, my face. I'm just the mouthpiece. So I knew press secretary was going to be that and then some. And I had the opportunity to literally watch and be very close to Jadia when she served as press secretary. And I know it wasn't easy. To this day, I don't know how she did it. She had a daughter and she had a husband. I have dogs and I've barely seen them. So, I mean, I don't know that it's hit me yet that we are doing this because the work literally never stopped.
Yeah.
The election was on the Monday. On the Tuesday morning, we were in office. And we just haven't stopped yet. The average time to get home is 11 o'clock. We're in office by 7 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, it's really intense. It's very intense.
I could imagine. One of the things about being a public figure, right? You're a public figure, you're young, you still want to have a good time. Do you feel like, this is a weird question, but it's actual factual for somebody who holds such a high office at such a young age. Like, if you want to go to a fete, right? Like, do you feel like you have to go in a little corner and queer? Like, you can't brock out, you can't split in the middle, and, you know? No, this is it might seem like a weird question, but it's actual factual. Do you feel pressured to have this prim and proper kind of behavior? Or, I don't know. You get where I'm coming with this.
I don't know that I was ever that. I'm not the splitting type to begin with. So that's maybe a good thing. But I do like everybody else. Like you put me in a party, in a show with Kes, and I will jump and I will scream and I will leave that party soaking wet. I mean, as press secretary, once COVID free us, I intend to go to my Trinidad Carnival, go to a show and, you know, just experience life. I think, you know, there's a time and place for everything.
Right.
If you're at a show, if you're at a party, you know, you're expected to have a good time, you're expected to dance. There's no crime in that. There's nothing wrong with that, but everything within its own place and just in an acceptable manner. There's nothing that I will do now that I didn't do
before
in the past in terms of how I conducted myself at parties. I would dance on my friends, dance with my friends, have my drinks. And I, you know, my friend's birthday was last week. We had a fully vaxxed cruise.
Yeah, see that.
Fully vaxxed. You know, when I got on the catamaran, they asked me for my vaccination card. I did that. We had to pre-register. And she's a doctor, so I think these things were important to her also.
Yeah.
And I went. I had a good time. You know, I think a lot of people are more concerned with how you feel and what's acceptable than you even, because you're just having a good time with your friends. They're your friends, you know? This is what we do. But some people came up to me, they're like, Mondi, is this picture appropriate to post?
Wow, like, can you imagine? you see, my question was right. You see, I was asking the right questions because, I mean, can you imagine somebody like me as prime minister? I mean, you know my past. Like the amount of cleaning up you got to do, girl. That's why I had to ask. Let me tell you, so that's why I had to ask. But that's pretty interesting. And I like that you're still embracing yourself and, you know, not necessarily having to change
everybody,
yourself.
Everybody, even the prime minister, I mean, he's been to... You know, I like, and my friends are always out having a good time. I've invited him to fire a few on a Friday, and he's come because he too likes to have his little drink of wine. He likes nice. Music.
Nice.
And, you know, a little free up.
Yeah.
So it's cool that he encourages that, you know, make sure you have a life. Get out of the office and make sure you go to lunch. Like, he wants to go to lunch, like leave the office, leave his desk and go to lunch.
Very important.
So that's a big part of the kind of culture that we have in the office. It's easy to work in, and you feel motivated. So yeah, we get to work at 7, but it doesn't feel heavy. And leaving, it doesn't feel heavy for me. Well, not yet, anyway. We're booked and busy, so it's schedule after schedule. So, I mean, he's having a meeting now, and I'm in the conference room talking to you because we're working out of this other space, not in our office today. But, you know, you still have some latitude are meaningful.
Mondi, what's political career? Any consideration later down in life? First female prime minister. Second, I think JD might be the first. Huh? I'm just calling that out.
That's okay.
So maybe the second. Any political aspirations?
I tell people, having been in the background in terms of, you know, sometimes I felt like a puppet master. You know?
The shadow prime minister.
You know, you get to tell... You know, you're all these people, their names are on the ballot. They're the ones honorable, whatever. But the role that you play is so significant in what they do and how they serve, what is fed to the public. I think I like this role. I like being in the back. Well, I'm not really in the back, but you know what I mean?
I get you.
I love this role because I think it's, you get to shape the work. You get to shape the campaigns. You get to shape policy. And that is really important to me. At the end of my service as press secretary, you know, I want to not just be the face or be the girl who said this, but even make a valuable social contribution. Yeah. You know, thinking of what kind of projects I can undertake within my community, for girls, for you know, just something meaningful to use the position to make people's lives better also. So, I mean, the future right now, Honorable Philip Kpia is the Prime Minister, so wherever he will have me serve, I will do that. But I think using the position to do good is also equally important for me.
Definitely. Mondi, of course, we are just about to close off this interview. I want to thank you again. Earlier in the interview, you mentioned the importance of balance. And like I told you, towards the close of the interview, I'd like you to stress a little bit more on that and give the young people some advice on how they could, you know, live that balanced life, have fun, but still be serious. Give us some advice on that.
I think structure is important. Structure is very important for you to live fully. I'm a person of spreadsheets. I like timetables. I like my day figured out because that's how I'm able to do everything. I'm not able to do everything, but at least for the an hour in the day or 2 hours, whether it is that I watch a show, the bold type, I really like the show, or I just on Facebook going through it, on Twitter, seeing what's crazy things people are saying. You know, I think it's very important to have that me time, whether it is that I read for 20 minutes. Like, there, it's just really important to have that balance, whether it's talk to your friends on the phone. I'm trying to at least talk to at least one of my friends every day because you have to, or you will get swooped in the work. And I have to balance my professional life, my private businesses, my family and my friends. How do I do all of that? And, you know, sometimes I always say to my friends, you know, after reading Michelle Obama, she said, you can have everything, but probably not at the same time. So at some times you're going to have to sacrifice that party. I remember my friends were bad and I couldn't go because that suddenly I had to work. and they kept sending me pictures and we were doing these videos. But, you know, some Sundays you get off. Some Sundays you have to put in the work. And I think it's for you and your personal life and your private businesses also that you are going to have to make sacrifices. But it's not always going to be that way. Whether it is that you make the sacrifice for a year, 2 years, or of just solid work and being committed to what it is that you want to do. I think that will augur well for young people. Just don't give up and just literally start where you at. For me, a lot of the opportunities have been through volunteerism.
So I
volunteered a lot. And that is how, you know, when I came back home from school, I was offered a job because I had volunteered there every summer at convent. So when I came back, they're like, Moni, what are you doing? I was like, just came back from school. And they're like, at convent. So when I came back, they're like, Moni, what are you doing? I was like, just came back from school. And they're like, okay, come in on September 3rd. I'm starting. I was like, really? And because you had made a name for yourself, you knew the organization. So it's hard work. You're not going to get anything. It's not going to be given to you on a platter. That's for sure.
Definitely. Moni, thank you so much. I know you got to get back because I know how it is. So thank you so much for taking this time out. And, you know, we hope to hear from you maybe on other instances that we'll get in contact with you. Thank you so much for joining us on
Youth Unplugged. Thank you so much for having me, Ron.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. Youth Unplugged right here on Radio Caribbean International. Of course, brought to you the kind compliments of our sponsor, Bank of St. Lucia.